You might like to open your Bible to Psalm 72. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you, and thank you that we can thank you. And Spirit of God, we look to you to take your word, that you would help us to have an understanding, that we might be able to honor you the more, appreciate you, and know you. So God, deal with our heads and our hearts and our homes, our health, our wealth, and our country and Israel. God, all of these things are in great need. And without you, we're in great trouble. So thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. We shared this morning a little bit to help us understand of all the different words that the world uses, approval and agreement and applause. They are not the words, and the approval isn't looking, you aren't looking. God isn't looking for your approval. He's looking for your amen. And that's what we shared, so that we understand the significance and the power of amen, which is what we did. And to add to that, if I may, keeping in mind amen, when you go to the New Testament, it's the same Hebrew word is translated right over into the Greek, into the same meaning. It's just a transfer, as it were. And it has to do, when you say amen, we shared all these things, think of the word support, support. And you're being supported. The pew is supporting you. That's what it's doing. You're allowing the pew to be a pew and to support you, And you are being supported. You are bearing witness to the pew's testimony that it is a pew to support you, to sit on. You are bearing witness to it because you're sitting on it. And you're, the pew is amening, like in a minute, the pew is amening, I am a pew. That's what it's saying. I'm telling them support to bind, etc. And the pew is bound to be the pew. And you are allowing the pew, believing the pew, amening the pew. And as you sit in the pew, you are bearing witness. You're showing the pew. You're confirming. You're binding yourself to that pew, as it were. You have the same thing as we in your book, Bible, in front of you, perhaps. And the Bible is a binding of all those pages. And you have a bound book because of the binding. Binding and bound. Binding and bound. Bound. That's your word, amen. You got that? Binding, bound. Supported. Affirmation, confirmation, when there's no doubt, when there is doubt, wouldn't make any difference. That amening is settling, making clear. God is the amen. Revelation 3:14 we shared. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Word become flesh. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Word for all of the words. There's no words of God except from God, because there is no other God. God alone can bring those words. You alone can bring your words. You can't bring, you can, because they're your words coming from your heart. You deliver them. God's delivering His Word. He is the Word become flesh. And as we read and reminded ourselves in Revelation 3 and 14. He is the Amen for all of the Amens. So that as we turn through and looked at Amen, He is the Amen that makes all of those Amens real. So as you read, as we did, to exercise, God is saying Amen to Himself, which we read. God said, I am who I am. I am the, and remember, looked at all the variations of the word. I am the true God. Amen. He said, I am who I am. I am the author and I am the authority for all of those words. All of those words, what are you going to do? You're going to amen them. I mean what I say what I mean. Amen. Amen. He amens his own words. He is the Amen. And then when the believing heart gets connected, the believing heart is what? To enjoy God as being who He is forever, always. He can be no other. God means what He says and says what He means in His Word. And that's what you trust. That's what David trusted. David had a heart. Remember, he got his heart in, like in the elevator. God's up here in the 10th floor, as it were. And David rode all the way up to be in the 10th floor. So when the elevator opened, he was looking straight out to God, and God was looking straight at him, as it were. So that David lined his heart up. He didn't want God to come down to him. He went up to God. He was going to go on God's terms, God's heart, what God had in mind, since he's God alone. That's what David did. So now when we come to Psalm 72, Psalm 72, as you're reading, it's a prayer that has to do, Solomon is his son, and as we come to the end of that prayer, picking up, if I may, in verse 18, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. And then we saw it as this morning. Here's a double amen. Amen, amen. Assuredly, double assuredly, certainly, solid, safe, supporting, bound, binded. God, you're going to do what you're going to do. And here is David's looking to God, for the whole earth is full of his glory. And it is true. The flowers, the birds, the bugs, the bees, your heart, all of these things. There's nothing I don't know, and you know it better than I do. I know of no study you could make on planet Earth about anything, about a chickadee or geophysics, physics, whatever you want to do. I know of no study on earth that it isn't going to but cause you to have to be awed, ultimately, if you're going to study. Awed by the truth of it. The subjects, an easiest way to remember that, just think of looking through a microscope at a little beetle or a little bug. And that little bug, it's little. You could step in it and never know the difference. But if you looked at it, it is so intricate, so detailed in its eyes, its ears, whatever the bug has. He's detailed to the letter, to be the bug instinctively, perfectly. He'll do like the spider to build the little spider's going to build the same kind of web without any web training. That's what he's going to do. God, you did that. Now that's because David lined his heart up with God to do that. So when you come to the end of verse 20, by the way, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, and are ended, and that's the end. Those are David's last prayer. Of all the different psalms, this is the last one. And he says, amen to the glory of God. Now, over if you would to Nehemiah. And Nehemiah comes along after the Babylonian captivity. And you remember Nehemiah and Ezra and the remnant that came back to rebuild the temple. Nehemiah and chapter 8, and as there, Nehemiah is delivering the word. And therefore, chapter 8, verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, amen. They knew that, remember, they're back. They got a temple that built, and they're trying to build the walls out of the ruins and the rubble, and they're trying to do everything. But God is wonderfully God anyway. So what did they say? Amen, amen. Noting, please, going down to verse 8. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, clearly, and gave the sense, a wonderful sense, so you understood, what does it say? What does that mean? What does it mean? You have the sense? And cause them to understand the reading. They need to understand. They need to understand. You can't amen if you don't understand. So the amening is what? I should say that differently. You have to believe so you can understand. You have to believe and understand so you can give an amen. Hold your finger here just a minute. Over to 1 Corinthians. Just stop and look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going right back there, so don't lose it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, remember it's talking about the gift of languages and all of that. Verse chapter 14, sliding down to verse 16. I'll even read verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, I will sing with understanding also. Else, if I don't have understanding in saying, praying, thinking, thanking, I need to be understanding, what am I doing? Not gibberish, not out in the truly somewhere. I need to understand what I'm doing. Else, verse 16, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, you're looking to God, you're honoring God's word in your heart and your head and with your mouth even. And as you're speaking thankfully to God, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned? They don't know, they don't understand, they don't know what you're doing. Say, amen. In other words, if you were thanking somebody for something, and you did it intelligently, the people that don't even know what you're doing know that you thanked somebody for something intelligently, and they could understand that. They can understand what you did. If you don't make clear what you're doing, they don't know why you're talking and saying what you're saying to the person. How can they relate to what they're hearing, what they're seeing, what they're understanding, except they understand? It has to be clear enough. So therefore, how can they say what? Amen. I understand what you're saying. Amen. I got you as humans. Sliding back over to Nehemiah and chapter 8. And in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 6, the end, so and cause them to understand the reading. And that's the whole point to make. That's what we're doing. We're trying to understand. Amen. In this case, I want to understand the word amen. Otherwise, if I don't understand it, how can I help you understand it? I can't. So I could say a whole lot of stuff and you wouldn't understand it anyway because I don't understand it. So I have to understand what I'm doing a little, not much. Nehemiah chapter 8 and in verse 12, And all the people went their way to eat and drink and eat, sent portions. This is all gathered to hear the word of God and to make great mirth. They're exciting. It was a celebration. What were they celebrating? They were hearing the word of God. And it was time to go have lunch, supper, and get some rest. And to make mirth because, why were they so happy? Because they understood the words that were declared unto them. And if you don't understand the words, how can you amen them? How can you do anything with them? You can't. And you got to believe in order to get to the understanding. Verse 13. And on the second day, next day, were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests, the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand. What were they doing? They came to hear again. The next day, their whole purpose of coming the next day was to understand the words of the law. And that's what the Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, the saints are gathered together. For what reason? So to be able to understand the word of God, to be able to enjoy a relationship to God, to each other, and to the body, to bear testimony to who he is. The church, we said in prayer meeting, what's prayer meeting? To get, what's this? What's any of it? To understand what God says. You got all kinds of needs, no question. The body needs to what? Amen. So we try to say, understand what God has written, so that what? That as we understand it, amen, amen, amen. And the more we understand, there's many amens. And like in Nehemiah's day, they all said amen. They all want to hear God's word. It's God's word. God is the amen, and he has said the words amen. So, having said that, and you know in your the light of everything, over to 2 Timothy, on your way back over there, 2 Timothy and chapter 4, I think, chapter 3, 2 Timothy and chapter 3, picking up, please. And you will know in it if I can. So what are we talking about? The words. The words are God's words. In the original language, they're God's word. All the prophets delivered what God had given, God was giving in his word. That's how we got the Bible. We shared together Wednesday and here last morning to remind yourself that God is the word when you receive him as your Savior. The word of God entered your heart, took over your life. And when he did, when that happened, all the words of God became yours in the person of Christ in your heart. So all of the words in this book, Bible, all the things that God has and is and is doing, all of the wonderful working and outworking of God's word and will, providential management, all that he's doing, it's in your heart. And you are hosting, you are housing the word of God for all of the words of God. And God is doing what he's doing in your life. That's a relationship you have. God is infinitely, marvelously who he is. But he makes it possible as we represent the Lord Jesus Christ in this age of grace. As we represent him, we have to be able to represent him properly. He is the amen, and we have to be amening. If we aren't amening, we aren't confirming, we aren't settling, we aren't supporting, we aren't being certain. We aren't being assured. When God said he's God, he's God. When God says anything, it's amen. It is so, as we're going to look at now. So all scripture, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration, God breathed. And you know that. That's what I just said in another different way. All scripture is God-breathed, verse 16. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. So what's the words? Not the translation. The original words are God's. God gave them by way of the prophets. Now, over, if you would, to 2 Peter, and add to that so that you're locking it in a little better. 2 Peter and chapter 1. What do you know about the scriptures that God gives by way of the prophets? 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 20. 1 and 20, 2 Peter. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private, personal interpretation. So knowing that I think it's this and you think it's that, and we got a whole lot of that. But it isn't what you think or I think or anyone thinks. It's what do God's think? What does God mean when he says it? Because you can close your Bible, you can throw it away. God's still going to honor what he's doing, what he said, what he understands. He's going to do it. That's what he's going to do. If you were in a prison camp, I hope you never have to get there, if you did, and you don't have a Bible, but you would understand as a believer, hopefully, you would understand that God, you don't need the Bible that in that sense. What you need to do in that little solitary booth is trust God. That's what you're going to do. And God's going to do what he's going to do without you ever having to read or say anything, because that's what God's going to do. And you're trusting God. That's all you can do. That's what God wants. Are you going to trust me and let me be who I am, God? So, verse 21, for the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And just think of a plant to move, the verb to move, to bear, to carry. A plant is going to what? Produce fruit. It bears. The tree is going to bear the leaves and the limbs. The tree is. The ship is going to go and be carried by the wind, the sails, and carried. The ship just sets the sail and the winds takes it on its journey. That's the word. All scripture is God-breathed. It's his words. And he moved the prophets. He, the Spirit of God, moved the prophets to give all this book. That's why it's amen. That's why it's amen. That's it. Now you say, well, you can argue, you can do whatever you want, but it won't make any difference, will it? When you're all done, God means what he says and says what he means, and we've got a wonderful translation and Bible to understand it. Now, so therefore, having said that little bit, in the light of God's wonderful binding, so when you put amen at the end, what are you saying? God, I want to, remember, and the other two words, bound and binding, supporting, thus making found firm is the word, firm, fixed, supporting, foundational, like the pew, it's there, and you're resting down on it, and it's bound, binding, all those words come together, that's the word, and it's a powerful word, amen. Powerful word, amen is. Wow. And it isn't so saying it just to say it. No, it's to believe it, what you're believing. And you say amen, as you believe in your heart, God means what he says and says what he means. So now, having said that, so when you put the word at the end, that's what you're saying. God, let it be so, let it be fulfilled. Let it be fulfilled in such a way that God, everything you intend and all that you've just said, let it be fulfilled. So be it. I beg you, invoke, to beg, to solemn, serious, pray. God, do it. Do what you said. Make it happen. So when you say amen at the end of the statement, you're saying, God, everything you just said, make it work, make it real, make it right. Make it. Not when you read, the Bible and promises, do you do that? See, amen. I know. Well, here's another promise, here's another promise. And we can do that and do it. And but having done that, what do we gain? So God, what do we, I didn't amen. I didn't. It's a wonderful thing. Make it work, God. God's going to make it work. How can you say, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good, et cetera, et cetera. They work together for good. Well, how do they work together for good? They work because God's going to keep his word. And if you just read verse 26, 27, and all of that in Romans 8, it's the Spirit of God that's going to outwork it. He didn't ask you to outwork it. He asked him. He asked himself to do it. Who else can make it work? Who else can give us that relationship, make the relationship with all of the relationship that makes it possible for us to have a wonderful, exercise, experiential, enjoyable relationship to God? So, amen, a certainty. And so when we put the word in the front, it has to do with certainty, surety, absoluteness. Everything that's coming, let it be so. At the end, so be it. In the front, let it be so. Everything you're going to say, God, let it happen. At the end, so be it. Everything you've said, God, let it be so. Amen, amen, amen. What did David say? Amen, amen. What did they all say? Amen, amen, as we read. Now, having said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to 1 Corinthians. And a minimal exercise to think about it. 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 1, 2 Corinthians, and chapter, remember now, everything is resting. God is resting on his word. His word is resting on God. The heart of the believer is resting on God's word. God's word is resting on God. So the heart of the believer is being bound, going to be bound. I amen it. Amen it. God, I want you to do it. I want you to save me to the uttermost, using that. That's what I want, God. No matter what it costs, no matter what it takes, help me to understand it so that I can see it happen. Second Corinthians chapter 1. To amen, if I may. And in verse 20. Well, I have to, I'll read verse, just for, in the light of the context. Verse 20. For all the promises of God in him, in Christ, in God, are yes. Not only are they yes, in him they are amen. So all of the promises, all of them, are amen. Amen. So when you read the promises, they're to be amended. Let me finish now in verse 20. For all the promises of God are yes, and in him amen, unto in the direction, and what's the whole purpose of the amening? Unto the glory of God. How are we going to do? God, you're going to glorify yourself by all of your promises. That's right. And then you take the next little preposition, by us, the believing heart. By us. By us. Amen. All the promises of God are amen in him. And you and I are to be amening. We ought to be enjoying is this thing, you're right, enjoying God's wonderful grace. That's what you should be doing. Amen. And that's what you're looking for, all the promises. So what the promises to Israel, the promises to the kingdom coming up, all of the wonderful things, well, they may not relate to us directly at this point at all, but that isn't the point. They're all yes and amen. All those promises about everything are true. Amen. And so when we read them, so God, what about the promises? You make them over and over for us. So when I read them, I want to be able to not just read them and pass them by to the next verse. God, I want to stop and understand what you're saying. And God, you're telling us, oh, John chapter, go over there for the moment. Over to John, Gospel of John, and chapter three. And what do you know about the Gospel of John? And the Gospel of John, we look at it here, and remember we said, amen, amen? That's in the Hebrew. Now, God, how are we going to see that in the New Testament? Same words. Verily, verily, assuredly, assuredly, most certainly, no question about it, it's just going to be verily. Amen. Supporting, binding. Amen. So, that's what, and double, it's double. Of the 51 times it's in the book of Gospel of John, 50 of them are double. 25 of them are all double, and only one at the end is singular. So God's going to say it 25 times, what? Verily, 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 verily. You're going to read it. Into 20 chapters. He says, I want to, do you understand? And then when you're reading, verily, verily, I say unto you. So you have no question. God, what are you telling? I'm telling you how to understand truth. What is truth? And you don't have to guess at it. He tells us. Here's John chapter 3. And picking up, please, verse 3. Jesus, this is Nicodemus, remember. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, there it is, most assuredly, to this Pharisee, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And God does that. God said, you can't do it. So it's the truth. I mean, how am I going to be born again? You can't. You can't. Except a man be born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, there it is, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And God said, you can't be saved without the Lord Jesus Christ, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It just isn't going to happen. So now, God, here we are looking in your wonderful grace as you do what you do, as only you can do it. Chapter 6. And in chapter 6, all kinds of ways to do it, just mentioning a couple that may be helpful to remind you. Verse 53. Then Jesus, remember they're all upset because Jesus said he was God and all of that, those kind of things. And he had to die on the cross and they had to have a saving relationship to him, be born again. Verse 53, 6 and 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, again, I say unto you, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Christ had to die on the cross. He took us, we said all these things 100 times, 1,000. And God took us to the cross. We died when he died. When he was buried, we were buried. When he rose again, we rose again. He's seated, we're seated. Wonderful. A wonderful, unique God, you did that. You took us in your own body in the tree. And unless we relate to you who took us there, you're the perfect Savior, perfect substitute, you took us there. So God, I understand the only way I got to that cross and died, satisfying your righteousness, is in Christ. He died for me. We do a communion, remembering his body, wafer, and the fruit of the vine, his blood. That's what you have to do. What are we doing? We're reminding ourselves that Christ died on the cross and rose again. He shed his blood to pay for our sin, etc., etc. So therefore, verse 56, I guess, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. So as we identify in God's wonderful, wonderful person, which is what baptism is and stuff, to show that evidence, so God, we do that. So verily, 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 chapter 12. And you recall, here in chapter 12, we mentioned it later here, verse 24, in the light of Christ's death, verily, verily, I say, 12 and 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And we remember we held the package of seed up. The seed was very, very old, and it could have been years, years, literally years old. But you know, you could plant those seeds, and they would grow. But they can never, never grow in the package. They can never, never grow and looking at them on your table. They have to die. The plant has to die in order to produce the life inside of it. Christ had to die to produce the life that we need. And here, the corn of wheat has to die. Grain, it's the law. It's the law of nature, natural. Things have to die to produce. And God said, listen, that's why you need to understand. Verse 26, if a man serve, verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it till unto life eternal. So we aren't trying to keep this life, we're trying to enter into his life, and we're going to do so looking to God in the light of understanding he died on the cross. Verse 24, verily, 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 chapter 5, backwards. Our Lord tells us about himself, his wonderful, he represents us perfectly, perfectly. And in doing so, he reminds us that he was perfect man, honoring God in a perfect way. Now, how was that? And he says so. Verse chapter 5, if I can, and in verse chapter 5, and in verse 19. Then answered Jesus unto them and said unto them, verily, verily, amen, amen. Of what I'm telling you, so be it. It is so. Absolutely, certainty. I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing in himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, them these also doth the Father, likewise, Son likewise. The Son does with the Father. The Son represents the Father. God created us in his image and likeness. And what? For God to enjoy himself in your life. For you to enjoy God, and for God to enjoy you. That's what it is. That's what God said. Wow. That's what you want. God said, that's what it is. So no flesh shall glory in his presence. So it isn't about here and self, I, me, my. It's about something hugely, awesomely, wonderful, wonderfully more than that. It's about a relationship to God. A relationship to God, another person, God, our Creator and Savior, to enjoy a wonderful life of the one who created us, to fulfill the wonderful purpose God has in mind. Amen. Amen. God said amen to that, what I just told you. And we say amen, because that's what he has in mind. Over if you can. Picking up if I can. Oh, Hebrews chapter 13. All kinds of ways to do it. All we're doing is just, when you read your Bible, think of amen and afresh, if you might, and put it together. Hebrews chapter 13, and you'll notice, oh, go to verse 20. 13, as you close the book, God closes the book of Hebrews. Verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, we just mentioned that, make you, verse 21, make you perfect, full, complete, lacking nothing. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will. That's what we just said. God's wonderful plan for your life, to have a relationship, to experience it, enjoy it, to exercise it. Verse 21, to do his will, working, God's the one doing it. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. First Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 21, make you perfect in every work to do his will, working in you, in your heart, that which is well-pleasing in his sight. So God, you're going to do what you're going to do, not what I ask you to do, not what I want you to do, because I'm not going to say that, God. I'm amening what you want to do. I'm not amening what I want you to do, and you aren't amening what I want. You're amening what you want, and I want to agree with you and amen, bind myself, bound, supporting. I'm going to let God, I'm supported by everything you're going to say. So verse 22, through, pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. That's the plan. And what do we say? The believer says, amen. I want all of what I just read. Oh God, make that happen according to your word and your will. And how are you going to close, like other epistles? What are you going to say? Verse 25. Grace be with you all. Grace be with you all. Amen. That's how they end. All of us, so what do we need? We're saved by the grace of God. We're kept by the grace of God. We're our life, grace is God doing the work. God being everything, us trusting God, like in the flesh, nothing. Trusting God as perfect man, the Lord did. So that God can outwork his wonderful plan in our life according to what he means, what he says, and what he wants. And we can do that. And therefore, when you close each letter, grace be unto you, amen. Amen, amen, grace, 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 amen. Because God has to do it. And God wants to do it. God died on the cross to make it happen in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. Over to Revelation, if I can, in chapter 1. And in Revelation chapter 1, picking up the thought, if I can, sliding down, remember what we read in the verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling, the exposing of God's wonderful plan and person. The Lord Jesus Christ is the prophet of all prophets. He is the one, all the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, it reveals his wonderful person since it's his word. Since he gave the words, the original language, then certainly if I read all the words that the person says, I'm certainly going to understand him. That's what you do with the Federalist, all the papers in the government and the great volumes. I have them, you might have them. Great sets of volumes of all that they said. The great statesmen, before they did the Declaration, the comments they made. Wow! So if I read them, if you've read them, we read them, people read them, study them, then we certainly know. Do you know how John Adams felt about something? Sure you do. You got all the things that he said. So you got a little bit. We got the God's word, so we understand the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ And in the light of that, and verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand, right now. So when here's John writing before 100 AD, and John, you're telling us that all of this stuff, it's in motion, and we're at the end of it. Chapter 1, verse 6. And God, I'll even read verse 5 for context. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and the Father and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. When you're talking about God, God be God. Don't be less. I expect you to be, to me, to us, God. Don't be anything less than you are. God, verse 7. To whom, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail before him. Even so, God, is it going to be like that? Amen. When I come, is it going to be in the end of the tribulation? Is it going to be like that? Amen. It's going to be like that. That's how it's going to be. Wow. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, and over in chapter 3, while you're there, just on our way past, here's the church in Laodicea again. We mentioned it this morning. And to the church in Laodicea, when he comes, at the end of the tribulation, actually, and chapter 3, verse 14, Laodicea, unto the angel, the messenger of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, he's the Amen, as we mentioned, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And then you read that God, the church in Laodicea, verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have no need of nothing. Don't need anything. God said, I can do nothing without God. They said they don't need God. And knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And I counsel thee to buy gold, etc., etc. I counsel thee to buy it, to look to it, or read it. Counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. So God, all of it is said and done in order to what? To outwork your wonderful glory. And they're all going to, is it going to be different than what you said? No, it's going to be like it is. God, can we make the church better? No, it's going to be like Israel, as it's at the end of the age in apostasy. That's where it's going. That's where we are. It has to be that way. Amen. Amen. You have to go. It has to be. So be it. Let it be so. Let it be so. Now, having said that, over to chapter 19. So God, you're going to do what you're going to do, absolutely. And here in chapter 19, remember. And picking up, please, in thought. Remember now, just think of chapter 5, if you would. Remember the chapter 5 in Revelation. The Lord Jesus Christ opens the seven-seal book, and that's the Revelation 6 through 19, etc. So when you come to chapter 19, after looking at the tribulation, chapter 6 through 18, come to chapter 19, what do we know? Verse 4, and the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God, that sat on the throne saying, Amen, Alleluia. Amen. That's what they said. It all has to be. It hasn't happened yet. It's going to. It has to happen. What do they say? What does heaven say? It has to be. Amen. A lot of things have to be. Amen. God, you're looking to work things out to make everything good, but not everyone wants good. But it's amen. So what are we doing? We're learning, prayer meeting and all of that. We're learning as a people, God's people, believers in the body of Christ, to say amen. And more in unison. We did all this years ago. People forget. That's what we're doing. To look to build up the people, to be able to be in unison as a body. Amen. To the amen. Okay, chapter 22. Chapter 22. And you will note, please, if I can, 22, picking up, please. At the end, God, how are you going to close the book? Don't add or subtract to it. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. So when we come to chapter 20, we can't add or subtract except to honor it. Amen. And therefore, verse 20, when he which testifieth these things saith, surely I'm coming, present tense. And remember time, we look at the clock and we say, is it late or early and 2 months away? And we think of time. But there is no time to God. There's just now. And as far as the mind of God goes, as far as tells us, it's now. I'm in the process of coming. Hang on. And, verse 20, surely I come quickly. Amen. That's what you're doing. What are you going to do? You're going to amen. That's what you're coming. That's what he said. Surely I'm coming. Let it be so. That's what he's going to say. That's what believers say that are biblical. Verse 21. The grace, remember what we read in Hebrews, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. It's by grace, you say, by grace, God's glory. The church represents God's grace. Israel represented God's law. Now, in closing, if you would, over to Titus. And as you would remember, Titus and chapter 2, and picking up, if I may, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What were they to be looking for? Looking for that blessed hope. What were the Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians, you have to turn there, 1:10. What were they doing? They got saved, looked to a wonderful God who saved them wonderfully, and they were waiting for God to come out, to come and take them home. They were waiting for God to take them home. That's a testimony. Is that what happens in Revelation 13, chapter 3? They forgot about God going anywhere, God coming. They left God out of the picture. God has a wonderful plan for the believers to be taken up in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. That's his wonderful plan. And we're to have this blessed hope, wonderful hope, expectancy. Amen. Amen. We're looking. Amen. So we're looking for God to do what he be God. We're looking for God to keep his word. And what are we doing? We're resting down on God, binding ourselves, binding our heart, believing, binding, bound to God, resting on God's word. And as we do that, God is going to go, and that we're going to reflect. He's the amen. The words are amen. And we're resting down on God's word, resting down, and like the pew, you're resting down, and we're amening. So as we meet, assemble, as we go to work, home, school, and all the different things we have to do and be, we're amening. We're walking around. Think of 1 Peter 3:15. And people are going to ask you of the reason. Remember, you know it. They're going to ask you for the, not going to ask you how rich you are, or how poor you are, or something. Or that way you go. They're going to ask of the reason for the hope that is within you. That's what they're going to ask. Because we're looking for what? The blessed hope. We're looking. It's an amen. He's coming. That's all. It's just nothing to say. He's coming. That's where it is. And we're going to trust him. Wow. And God's going to do that. And that's what they're going to ask, a reason of the hope that is within us. Because they just don't have that. The hope. So with everything, we should hold your hope. What's the word, hope? So that you go forward. The minutes, these 5 minutes are going to become 5 minutes all gone. And whatever you have now, you're hoping for the next 5 minutes. And you're going to outwork the next 10 minutes. And all of them are going to keep disappearing. So it's hope, 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 hope. Moving forward, calendar and the clock, forward. Always moving forward. In every way, the whole world, everything's moving. And we are able to have a wonderful expectancy to be taken up to be with the Lord. The world's expectancy is tribulation. Ours is to be exited, transported, transformed, transfigured into his presence. That's what God's going to do. Amen. And as you read now, when you pay attention, the promises, amen. And you're reading God's word and amening it. You don't have to sit and, I read the whole Bible. Well, what did you believe in the Bible? What part of it is housing, finding a home in your heart so that you're honoring it? It's strengthening you. Be strong and of good courage. And that's what you need to be, because everything's against you. Opponents, obstacles, everything's against you. The odds are against you. Except what you're doing is looking to God, and there's nothing. All that's impossible is quite possible. And all that's improbable is quite probable. Why? Because God said it, and God can do it. And God's going to do a wonderful thing in the heart of the believing believer if the heart would let him. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word, your work, your grace. It's just us. So deal with us. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you for having a wonderful plan. And God, as we think of Israel, as we think of all the different countries and our own, and God, you have to help us in all of this, that we'd be resting more and more with understanding, resting on thy word and thy work and thy grace. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.